Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
My brother and myself were always interested in running our own business. We just didn't know what it was.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Sharm, and in this episode, we're speaking with Sanok Koo, property developer and founder of HWD Homes. We'll hear how he manages to balance a full-time job with property development, how to make an average profit of at least $250,000 per deal, and the dangers of having too much on your plate. Before diving into property development, Koo already had an established career. However, his focus is shifting towards property development.
I'm actually an accountant by trade, but I've obviously turned my attention to property development in the last 5 to 7 years.
HWD Homes specializes in creating quality boutique residential development. The story behind the business name is what Koo describes as tacky, yet quite funny.
My brother and myself are big boxing fans, or martial arts in general. So you've obviously heard of Floyd Mayweather. So he has an acronym for... during his training camp, and that's hard work dedication. So that's what it stands for.
When working for HWD Homes, Koo's day consists of a lot of administration work.
So I still actually work a full-time job at the moment. So I still do my my finance or accounting work. But on a given day, in terms of the property development stuff, we've actually got it set up pretty well. So a lot of my work is actually on the phone or on email. So it's actually just responding to the consultants, making sure the real estate agents are doing their job and following up leads for sales. So to be honest, a lot of it is actually just overseeing administration, more around project managing, just making sure everything's on time, on budget, and everything's moving along. So I'm really just on the phone and answering emails, to be honest, unless I'm out on site sort of doing some deal appraisals. But even when we're looking for deals, a lot of that's done in the back office before we go on site to check it.
Along with a full-time job, Koo has a lot to juggle throughout his day. He shares how he manages to do both.
So it does vary quite a bit depending on what stages the properties are at, the deals are at. Because we've been doing it for a while, at the start, if your intention was to still work full time, it is difficult at the start, because obviously you've got to make the contacts, you've got to get that knowledge where you don't have to be chasing things up all the time, and you've got that sort of relationship with consultants, and you can give someone a task and you know it's going to get done. But I would say. So me and my brother run the business together. So we may spend 2 hours a day each on administration, maybe not even that. So our intention was always to go full time in property development. But I've been fortunate enough to have some very good mentors and be part of some good networking groups where we were advised that, because I know the dream for everyone is to go full time into their own business, but we've got a transition plan just to be a bit more conservative, especially with the way the market is. So that was the advice that we were given, that probably it's something that we should look at, but not to jump straight into.
Although Koo would be able to go into property development full time, he is listening to the advice he was given.
To be honest, with what we've built up, we could probably, so when I say we, it's my brother and myself, we could probably do it now, but it's just something that we want to, because we're still young and still sort of enjoy the busy lifestyle for now. It's something that we want to look towards in the next sort of 12 to 18 months.
Koo was raised in Melbourne, which is where he now chooses to invest.
So I grew up in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. So Furniture Gully, if you're familiar with that area, it's around the Knox area. So I actually went to primary school and high school in the Knox area, and I completed a Bachelor of Commerce in Accounting after high school. So yeah, got that bachelor's and a CPA qualified, so a lot of studies.
Throughout his time studying, Koo also held down some part-time jobs.
I worked in what is now Bunnings, but used to be McEwen's. I'm not sure if you remember that, but so I think Bunnings took McEwen's over probably, decades ago. Had part-time jobs at Dick Smith. They got taken over or went bankrupt. Just did whatever I could do at that time.
After completing his university degree, Koo jumped straight into his accounting career.
I jumped straight into a graduate accounting job, so to speak. Just moved into different sort of areas of accounting and finance since that point. And what I've had to do, and this is probably one of the things I didn't touch on before when I said I worked full-time, I actually had to move out of finance and accounting to be able to do my development as well. So so obviously an accounting or finance job is very 9-to-5, whereas even though I've got a full-time role now, but it's very flexible. And the reason I sort of left the accounting field, even though I still work full-time, is to be able to do my property investing and developing as well.
After leaving the accounting field, Koo's job gave him the flexibility to have more focus on property development.
So I'm in operational planning in the utilities industry. And for me to do that at that time, so I did that probably 4 years ago. So that was a really big sort of milestone for me, because obviously I'd studied 3 years undergrad and 3 years postgrad to get my CPA, and then to actually give sort of the finance career up to move into planning, where it was more flexible, so I can work from home, start when I want, finish when I want. It's obviously not the same as quitting your full-time job, but it was a big sort of move for myself to be able to make sure I could pursue sort of the property investing side of it.
Koo and his brother always knew that they wanted to have their own business. However, they faced one problem. They had no idea what they wanted to do.
So it sounds a bit funny when I look back at it now. So we actually looked at franchises, Subways and your grilled franchises, thinking to become a franchisee, thinking maybe that's the way to go. And then we bought a few vending machines, thinking that might be the way to go. Then, just hearing. So I guess if I was to think about whether my parents had any influence over property side of it, they would talk about it like most mum and dads, but not particularly in developing itself. Yeah. So we always had an interest in business, so it sort of led us to the property side of it anyway. So there's only so many things you can do: business, shares, property in terms of investing. And we sort of looked at each one of them and felt that share trading definitely wasn't for us, and opening a franchise business definitely wasn't for us either.
After deciding to invest into property, Koo needed to find what he was good at.
Like many developers, so we actually started off in renovation. So we were, I don't know how you put it, so we, my brother and myself, were avid property networking workshop attendees. So people that go to all these events and get that sort of motivational aspect of it. So we used to go to a lot of those workshops where, you know, people present and say what you could do, talk about passive income and that. So we were always interested in property investing, but developing itself was sort of something that came maybe 4 years down the track when we actually sat down and figured out what we really want to do, because we had bought property before developing, but we were sort of like more of a, you know, not to be disrespectful, but more of a mom, sort of a mom and dad sort of investor, where we were just buying a property to renovate without any timelines or budgets or any sort of goals. It was just one of those things where you'd hear in the media that that's what everyone should be doing. We should be trying to invest. So we did that without any sort of clear direction.
Before Koo found his niche in property development, he experimented with renovations.
So we ended up renovating, so it wasn't a lot. So we did three renovations. So the first one we bought was, was the most disgusting property you'd ever seen. It needed a full makeover, and it was, it was just filth. I think it was a guy on benefits who had a few dogs that lived in the house that just, so it was just urine and feces everywhere. And it was just, it was just filth. But it was cheap. So it was a good lesson that after we did our first one, we kind of thought, we're really not good at this, at this renovation thing. So we ended up doing another two, but very small renovation jobs, more of a clean up and a dress up as opposed to wall changes and kitchen changes and things like that. Yeah.
He bought this house for $237,000 and managed to make a good profit.
We made around $90,000 off that one. So we were absolutely stoked. But so that's gross before tax. Yeah. So we wouldn't have done that one from memory anyway, under a business or anything. So we would have just bought it under our personal names and not had any GST issues or anything like that. But we weren't sure if that was the renovation or the market. So I think when we look back at it, we might have got lucky and it might have been the market that went up at that stage, because we bought such a crappy property in a okay area. And we spent maybe 50,000-ish on the renovation, 50 to 60,000.
After discovering that renovation wasn't his thing, Koo started his property development journey.
If I go back to the start, like we started off in the, obviously in the residential property development, and we just looked at sort of dual oxides and sort of gradually moved on from there. So we've done two on a site. We've actually done one on a site behind an existing property before, moved on to two, then we've done three, four, and so on. So, but we've sort of kept it in that sort of range of about four units, and that's sort of our niche at the moment. So from when we first started, we've done around 15 projects to date, with some of them still ongoing. So not all of them we've actually built, because obviously with the market changing, we normally assess them and see whether there's actually any value selling with permits or actually the land itself. So of the 15, we'll probably take into completion around two-thirds of those.
Throughout his time completing these 15 projects, Koo has experienced some questionable investing moments.
So in terms of financials, the worst one we did was probably our third project. So we broke even on it, and it was a project that we bought. So this is before we took the whole business thing seriously, and it was in our early days. We sort of just bought one thinking that's good value and ended up being able to build three on it, but we held on to it for like, we did the project over 4 years, which is just for a three unit site, probably double the length of time it should take. And really something that we didn't, to be honest, we're quite lucky, because we bought it as a, almost as a test project to see whether we wanted to do developing, and didn't lose any money on it, but didn't really make any money on it. And it wasn't something at that time we took seriously. So when I look back on it, it was probably quite lucky we didn't lose money on it, because we just decided to build on it without too many numbers or anything like that. It was in a suburbs, Heidelberg Heights, in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. So it's quite close to the city, probably 11 to 13Ks. So we bought that because of that reason, because it's a, at the time, it was probably a lower economic, socioeconomic area, but quite close to the city. So we thought there was good value in it. And that was the reason why we bought it. To be honest, if we bought it and sold it, we probably would have made quite a bit of money because of how the market changed over time. But it so happens that we decided to develop without any knowledge, which is why I say we're probably lucky and not one of the ones that decided to do or get into developing without the proper sort of knowledge and actually lose a lot of money.
From this experience, Ku took away a valuable lesson.
So basically off that one, we decided that we needed to get serious and actually seek out a mentor. So we'd, up to that point, we were sort of I guess you could call it a part-time investor. We just wanted to be in the market because that was what everyone said we should be doing. So we're actually part of a property program called Result, and that were really good in terms of the goal setting and the foundations. But what we found with that program was it was a very generalized program in terms of you got taught a lot of things. So we, because of that, we tried to do a lot of things, which is absolutely no fault of the program itself. It was just we didn't take the time to sit down and actually decide what we wanted to do. So we said, okay, renos, we'll try development, we'll try. We actually went to New Zealand and bought 8 properties because we wanted to try it. So from that point, we sort of sat down from my brother and myself and said, okay, well, developing is actually what we wanted to do. What we thought we were good at, the project management side of it, we thought we were quite good at looking for deals, which we found good deals. We just didn't know how to execute them. So we actually found a mentor, and you may have heard of him. So we went into a program run by Troy Harris. Yeah, and that's sort of when we joined that. Troy sort of looked at our portfolio and said, guys, you need to get serious and get real. What are you trying to do? We gave him our goals, and we had renos developing, overseas investing. He just said, you're trying to do too much, and if you've got enough money to try invest in all these areas, then good luck. But if you want to focus on one of the areas, then you're probably going to have much more success. So that's when we sort of decided to get serious and just pursue developing itself.
Joining the program run by Troy Harris was when property development clicked for Ku.
He asked for sort of what our goals were out of our investing, I guess, career. And he sort of just put it on us and said, you're trying to do too much, and I think you might waste your time trying to, well, joining this program and thinking you can pursue all these three sort of investing ventures, or three or four, whatever it was at the time. And that's when my brother and myself actually thought, you know, he's probably right. Why are we trying to, you know, focus our time on all these different investing strategies when we should just be doing the one and trying to do it well? And that was the big sort of catalyst for us to move forward.
After this epiphany from working with Harris, Ku and his brother knew property development was what they wanted to do. He shares how they came to this decision.
I think it was more the project management side of it. So we were pretty confident we were good with the relationship side and getting things done. I mean, I've got a finance background. He actually works in a bank, but he's quite good with the networking and the relationship building. So he was good at finding deals. And one of the aspects with developing is trying to get finance. So I sort of had that covered in terms of understanding the numbers and that. And just based off the projects we'd done in the past, it was actually the one where we thought if we actually focused on it, we would get the best outcome, or the financial outcome for us. Because we did the renos, we made a bit of money, but we thought it's not something we're passionate about or actually interested in getting our hands dirty and doing. So it was really, yeah. So it kind of led to property development in the end. We just sort of knew that's what we wanted to do. We're extremely lucky because we've got we're very close in our normal personal lives so we're able to, I guess, interlink complement our that relationship with our business relationship. So we argue a lot, but we don't. It's nothing personal. So I shouldn't say we argue a lot. We discuss and debate a lot, but we don't. But it's never anything personal. So we've actually got a very good relationship. Like when it comes to the areas that I look after, the financing, sort of the administration part of it, he doesn't question me. He's got full trust in what I do, and vice versa. Like he looks for deals. We have that trust with each other.
Coming up after the break, we'll explore the strategy that Koo used to achieve success.
So in terms of how we get it done, I think it's from the years of the relationship.
We'll hear about the resources that edge Koo into property development.
So for my birthday, my brother actually bought me the infamous 0 to 130 properties in 3.5 years.
He will share the advice he would give to his younger self.
I would say to him, get focused a lot more quickly.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, let's be real. Deals that can yield 20 to 30% per annum do exist. Don't believe me? Well, here's a story about property development I invested in Victoria. This developer had the project fully funded beforehand, but he and his family suffered a loss, a circumstance that led him to be unable to proceed with the development. So I stepped in, and in 2 weeks, we funded the shortfall, allowing for the development to continue. 5 months later, the development was refinanced and we received our funds back with interest. Yes, there are amazing opportunities in the property market like this one. So, do you want to get a better return with lower risk on your money? Then register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Behind balancing a full-time job and property development, it is important to develop a strategy that will aid you. Koo details his strategy and how it assists him.
So I would say this is not the optimum because I do have friends who are full-time developers, and I could see that they could definitely get stuff done a lot more efficient than I can, obviously, because they've got more time. But so in terms of how we get it done, I think it's from the years of the relationship. So we've built up 6-7 years of relationships with a few different builders, brokers, like draftees, engineers, where, to be honest, if I need to get a deal done, I'll just send them an email with the drawings or what I need done, and they sort of action it. So for anyone thinking that it's easy to do, it would take you a bit of time to get those relationships. So if you think you can just work full-time and send an email out at lunch and expect an engineer to do your drawings or prioritize your drawings, that's probably not going to happen. It's just the years of the relationships we've built and the quantity of work we've given back to some of these guys or girls for them to get that sort of priority on their list. Yeah.
Like in the early days of Koo's journey, it is still a challenge to build these relationships. It
definitely is a challenge, or was a challenge in the earlier days. And to be honest, it still is a challenge in this market. And especially we're located in Melbourne, and the Melbourne market has been very hot until probably the last 6 months. So trying to get agents to respond and that sort of stuff was still challenging. And there was obviously a lot of agents that came into the market as well, so it made buying deals difficult. So we still have that challenge now. But in the earlier days, I should mention we did take a lot of time off to do it. So in terms of like leave and working from home days. I don't think people maybe not realize how big of a change it was for me to move careers as well to do this. So the, as I touched on before, the planning role I have now was or is extremely flexible, and that was one of the reasons why I could do it. But obviously I give up my accounting and finance career for that. So yeah, you just have to find ways to get it done. Like if we took leave days, I mean, I had to change sort of the profession I was in so I could do this.
Establishing these crucial relationships is not as easy as it may appear.
I know a lot of people have issues with trying to get builders. If you ask someone will say, oh, well, just grab a project and get a builder to quote it. And then when you grab a set of plans and get a builder to quote it, they sort of just think, you know, who are you? You're just another tire kicker wasting my time. So it's not as easy as some people say it is, but some of the consultants we did have to pay for their time were quite open to the fact that if we had to pay a builder for his time, we would pay him. So we weren't too concerned with, because I know a lot of people, that might be a bit of an obstacle for some people trying to get feedback and actually paying someone for advice that maybe they're not going to use at the moment. But we're quite liberal in terms of doing that. And I can't remember any specifics, but I do recall if we had a job and we had a consultant we wanted to use, we would just give them the job without sort of, and I don't know if this is the best practice, without getting two or three quotes as they sort of tell you to do. And going back to that same person again, you know, to build that relationship. It is a tough one in developing, because if you've never done one and you're trying to get build costs and that, and people just say, well, just go ask a builder, it is actually not as simple as that. And if you ask them three or four times, they're just going to ignore you if you don't give them a job. There's no easy answer for that. And the only way we got around it was because we ended up giving the builders we spoke to at the start a few jobs, and that they end up taking a bit more seriously.
Koo uses his established relationships throughout his process of developing a project.
Like most developers would find a site in sort of, so we develop, we try to develop close to home. So I mean, I'm in the sort of Doncaster area at the moment of Melbourne, Box Hill sort of area. So we do deals from sort of Manningham Council down to sort of Maroondah, sort of Croydon, Ringwood, where it's a little bit cheaper than up sort of closer to the city. So we'll, like anyone else, we'll just network of agents. We would buy most of our stuff off market, I dare say. But it's just like the relationships with consultants. We have relationships with agents. They sort of bring us deals, some good, some bad. So our traditional process would be we would get the permits for the construction. Most of the time at the moment, we assess whether there's any value in selling with permits. And if not, then we'll engage an agent to start marketing the properties off the plan. And then obviously once we've got our permits through council and all the working drawings, engineerings, and get the building permit, we'll engage a build and start construction. That's sort of the high-level process. When the Melbourne market was hot, probably before the last 6 months, sites with permits were selling quite high and people were paying exorbitant prices for the permits. So it was just a checkpoint where we would just assess it to say, well, if we built it, would obviously take finance risk, construction risk, you know, how much profit would you make versus how much would we make if we just sold with the permits at the moment, or even just selling with the land because the market moved so much during sort of the last 2 years. So yeah, just assessing the risk. Is it worth building for an extra bit of profit, or is it better just to sell and move on to the next project?
For Ku, the amount of time between the purchase of a property and beginning of construction is dependent on funding options.
With the projects we have currently, so if we're doing a three unit project, there is the ability to get funding, and this is just from our personal sort of financial circumstances. Other developers might have different ones. So for three units, we're able to get funding with no pre-sales. But anything above, we're required to get, depending on the fund, a 50% debt coverage or 100% debt coverage. So you would require pre-sale. So to be honest, a lot of it's just driven by the banks at the moment, or the financiers. Yeah. So if you know you need to get pre-sales, the earlier you start, the better.
With this strategy in place, Ku is able to work in property full-time, but with part-time hours.
So I would actually, so the number of projects we do, so we would do 3 to 4 projects. So for the last couple of years, we'll do 3 to 4 projects per annum. So, and that's constructing or selling with permits, or, you know, just making a deal of any sort of property kind. So, yeah, so we would actually say that, although we're not doing full-time hours, we think we've got enough deals that it would cover us for full-time employment.
When making a property development investment, although Ku has no minimum requirement for a profit, he does have a goal target.
So when we're assessing a deal, like when you just do sort of the raw numbers and you know that they're just draft numbers, we like to have sort of a minimum 250 in a deal. But obviously things change in time and you might reassess as the project goes on. And that changes. So it could be, so we've done a deal where we built 3 units in a suburb in Ringwood, and that only netted us 150,000. But we knew that going in because we bought the site with permits, but it only took us sort of 15 months from buying to completion. So short-term deal, lower profit. So yeah, it just depends on the deal.
At the beginning of his property development journey, Ku had one hurdle that he needed to jump over.
We always had, like most people, an interest in investing, but we, in our early days, we probably actually never took the time to actually focus on it properly. Like we were interested in it, but it was more of a part-time interest as opposed to actually wanting to get our hands dirty and actually, you know, sit down, look for deals, crunch numbers. I think that's probably just we're probably a bit more immature. and not really ready for trying to focus on a goal and getting it done. So I look back at it, I kind of wish I took it a bit more serious back then.
To help him guide him on his journey, Ku turned to the help of books.
So the reason we actually got into property, or one of the reasons why it sort of piqued our interest was, so for my birthday, my brother actually bought me the infamous 0 to 130 properties in 3.5 years that had, you know, Steve McKnight and Dave Bradley in it. So we always had an interest in business. But that book was probably the one that sort of thought, oh, well, this is quite interesting. You know, the things that you can actually do with property as opposed to just buy and hold. So that was probably the first resource that we had that sort of got us into the property investing sort of area. I guess all the other books that most people have touched on, the Robert Kiyosaki books as well.
As well as having books to guide him, Ku has also had guidance from his mentors.
I'm a big advocate of having a mentor, even if it does cost you a bit of money. It's just I think some people get mentors and without actually having sat down and thought about what they want to do, I think that's when you can waste a bit of money. if you're focused and you know actually what you want to do, then you can seek out a mentor sort of in that area of expertise. But I think, yeah, where people run into sort of issues is, I think, when they get a mentor and they're not decided on actually wanting to pursue a particular sort of skill set, that's when you can sort of waste a bit of money. So we've had, I mean, as I mentioned, we were part of results, and that sort of gave us a good sort of foundation on goal setting and that. So we've had Troy Harris that really, he's the one that taught us how to develop in terms of the process and the process, the timing on really how to get the best and highest, best use out of a site and maximize the financial gains from a project. So we've also been lucky enough to have Dave Bradley as our mentor. So he's not so much about developing itself. He was more around sort of their business mindset and on how to grow the business. So we've been fairly lucky. It's come at an expense, but I think ourselves were quite lucky.
From all of his mentors, Ku has received priceless advice, which has helped to build his success.
The best piece of advice we got from Troy was the focus one. Really just focus on the one thing we wanted to do and do that well. So when I look back and I think about, so I still keep in contact with Troy, but when I actually think about Troy himself and what he's taught us, that's the thing that stands out the most. I think with teachings and developing itself, I think it's the process itself is not difficult to understand. Obviously, the getting through the processes are a challenge. We counsel on that. So that education part of it, I think you'll pick up. But the actual mindset, like you touched on, and the focusing is sort of what stands out when I think about Troy and his sort of teachings to us. And if I was to think about Dave, the thing that he always bangs on to us about is we can always go harder. So if we take a position on the market, we should take action on our position and just do as much as you can. We approached Dave to mentor us because we wanted to grow our business and we wanted to, I mean, we knew how to develop. We'd done, you know, a few successful development deals, but we said what is the next steps? We don't know, like, you know, what do we need to do to become a proficient full-time investor over the next, so develop over the next 20, 30 years? And he said, well, you know how you're doing two deals at the moment? You need to do five. You need to look on how do you do 10 deals or 15 deals. You know, the numbers itself doesn't matter, but it's what you want to achieve in your goals. And if you want to make this a success, then you need to go hard and do as much as you can. So it's not so much the market itself, it's just sort of stretching yourselves and your capacity on what you can do in number of projects, size of projects.
Dave Bradley taught Ku the importance of getting outside of his comfort zone.
My brother and myself sort of push each other. So I think you know when you go through tougher periods where you kind of just have that feeling that you're not doing enough, I think. Because I've got a business partner who's my brother, we sort of just keep ourselves accountable for our goals. And because we've sort of got things churning pretty well, even when we're not going hard enough per se, we've got stuff moving along that we can tick off each day just to keep the wheels in motion. And then when things sort of get a bit flat, sort of think, okay, what do we, you know, sit down and say, well, what do we do now? Do we, you know, do we look for another project? Do we get more funding? Looking at sort of working on the business as opposed to in the business.
As for Ku, he has some advice for his younger self and others at the beginning of their journey.
I would say to him, get focused a lot more quickly. And get focused and sort out what you want to do and stop procrastinating, because I'm by rights quite a lazy person.
He has some personal habits that have aided him along his path to success.
I don't know if this is a good or bad one. So I'm quite pedantic in returning phone calls and answering all my emails, even if I have to stay up late at night. But yeah, that's probably, so there's that saying, if you, you know, try to do something every day towards your goals, that's sort of what I base it on. So if there's something that needs to be done, especially if I'm holding up a process, I absolutely hate that. So yeah, just to, yeah, just respond to all your consultants, make that phone call, just take action. It can be it's a bit of a catch 22, because sometimes I get too into the detail of doing stuff that I forget I need to look at the bigger picture and see where the business is going. So that's, I guess that's the downside of having that sort of addiction to getting my property stuff done.
Thank you to Sanok Koo, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you love the show, perhaps you're now ready to invest your money in a low-risk, high-return deal. If you are, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499881040 to become a lender. There are amazing opportunities in the property market right now, and I'm looking for lenders who want to invest their money for as short as 6 months. What are you waiting for? Don't let your money just sit in the bank. To register your interest, text me your name and email address on 0499881040.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.